coming down to the ring.
You know?
From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Weighing in at 300 pounds. Ryan Dock. No,
this is what happens when I let the crazy people go crazy. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Geek Cypher here on Free X Agents Media, FXA Media on YouTube. Or you can hit us up on Twitch, twitch.tv/GeekCypher. That's GEEKCYPHA. And we got another one for you guys. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy how much stuff has happened in 1 week. First off, I'll start with this. And I know I was the one that railed against the idea of trying to avoid discussing deaths, but RIP to Carl Weathers. I mean, you can't really do it without talking about the fact that Carl passed away in the last week since our last episode. So RIP to him. You know, he left his mark on the industry. Apollo Creed, Adonis. Sorry, what am I saying? No, Apollo Creed. Apollo Creed.
You're right. Apollo Creed.
Damn Greek mythology.
There was no one that there wasn't gonna be a guy called Adonis. I don't think he would have. Wasn't that like Dolph Lundgren's character?
No, Adonis is the son. That's a Creed.
Oh, really?
That Michael B. Jordan plays. That's why I made the mistake. Yeah. You know, but Apollo Creed, the man is part of one of the most famous memes on the internet, the Predator arm shake with Arnold. If you guys see that arm, the black arm, that's all right, brother. Like that classic, classic 80s. It's fantastic. And, you know, he's just done so much. There's so many people that praised him and wished to and, you know, condolences to his family and everything. I didn't even know he was a former football player. I also didn't know he supposedly played in the Canadian Football League. I forgot to look up what team he played for. But
oh, really?
Yeah, I did. I saw that today. Weathers. Canadian football.
Nothing Canadian about the CFL in the 80s, boy, huh? Like, everybody was up here just running around playing for Edmonton, being from Wisconsin, whatever.
True, huh? True. He played for the Oakland Raiders. And hold on, let's look up his professional football career. He played for the Oakland Raiders of the NFL and as an undrafted free agent in 1970, now playing as a linebacker. Weathers played in 7 games for the Raiders, helping them win the AFC West division title. And then he went to the BC Lions in the CFL. He played with the Lions until 1973. That's wild. Yeah. That's kind of crazy. So he was up here in Canada for a minute. 10 years before I was born, which makes me feel even crazier when I say that. But then I also just told y'all I'm 40. So I'm just
why'd you gotta make it an age thing? Come on.
Because I'm oldest out here.
You're just 40. You're not like 45.
Oh yeah, because I'm so far.
Yeah, I'm like that is probably the worst. Like, it's like you only got 5 years before you're slime or scum or whatever. Like, you know, before you're dated. What is this, Logan's Run?
Like, oh God! I mean,
I'll be on a bunch of 40-year-olds in this bitch.
Not yet.
I'm still golden. That's okay.
For like a half year.
Right. Can't relate. Can't relate.
I know you're the youngin now because it used to be Jaws, but now Ness, how old are you?
Don't ask a woman her age on national podcast airs.
Hold on. For those of you who don't know, we have a group chat, and in the group chat, Ness was like, "Age ain't nothing but a number. We, you know, it's a mindset." Yes. Blah, blah. So that's why I was just like, "I'm okay to ask her how old she is, guys." She's the one.
I'm 26.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you have so much to learn,
man. Not to learn. It's like 26. Oh shoot, I remember freedom.
Is that the title? That early? 26? I remember freedom.
Jesus, that has nothing to do with age, bro. That has everything to do with the the extra things you have circling around your legs that are like clinging on to you. Be like, help me.
26, boy. Wow.
What was the craziest thing you think you were doing at 26?
Shit,
a lot of stuff.
I can't even remember.
I
was still at home.
Touring Europe.
Yeah, so was I. I was still at home
at 26. I left at 26. I moved out of 27. I had a conversation with one of my friends. We had a whole thing because her and I, one of my good friends, so I didn't think of it as judgment, but I sat across from her and told her that I moved out of 27, and she spent like half an hour being like, but why would you stay at home until you're 27? And I was just like, because I wanted to pay off my student loans before I moved out. And she's just like,
everyone's different.
Yeah, but she was like, but why would you stay in the house? And I was just like, I don't understand your question. Because I wanted to pay off student loans, I didn't have a reason to move out. My family and I got along. I don't know. Like, and then at one point, I was just like, "Boo boo, I'm starting to realize you did not like your family situation."
I was about to say, like, there's got to be something off.
Yeah. And then that turned into a very different conversation. But it was great. It was nice.
I mean, listen, I moved out at 19, but I would never judge anyone else like for staying longer.
Gangster.
I'm impressed. What?
I remember.
I'm not necessarily like suggesting it or recommending it. I'm just saying that's what happened to me. But I don't, you know, I don't judge people who move out later.
I moved out at 30.
I do remember having this conversation with you at work, though, and mentioning like when you were just like, I feel like I don't have it all together yet. And I'm like, let me get this straight. You have a full-time job, have a plan that you may have pivoted from, but you have that plan that you would like to go that path, and you're doing so many things and you feel like you don't have it together. Let me remind you. And then at the time I said, at 25, I definitely did not have this planned out in any which way or form. So.
You also got out when rent was like relatively normal.
Yeah, that's true.
I imagine there's like kind of catch up, and you can also like find a place where you can be like, listen, we're going to regulate this rent because I don't know about these $1,500 for an 01.5. I don't know about that.
That's a fucked up thing, by the way.
People are like, why are people staying in like in their apartments or with their parents now? I'm like, have you seen rent?
Yeah, it's legit.
Like, you may as well stay home and like save for a condo or a house at this point, because there's literally no point.
Oh, yeah, 100%. When I moved out, my 4.5 was 775.
Yeah,
a 4.5 is easily 1700, 1800.
Yeah, my buddy and I were living in relatively close to downtown in a 4.5 with a parking spot. We were paying $965.
That right now is $225.
That's at least
spot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, with the parking spot. Yeah, I know.
The spot is at least 500.
Yeah.
Downtown is 800.
Forget. Yeah.
You buy a metro, forget it. $600.
Yeah, when I was living in Griffintown, I had a 2-bedroom apartment, and we were paying like I think it was like $2,100 a month.
That hurts my heart.
That was 2 years ago.
No.
That was 2 years ago. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say how much I pay for my house, but that is significantly more than my mortgage rent. Just going to say that.
No,
but that's Griffintown, though. If you guys know Griffintown, like it's a very expensive area.
No, for sure.
Hence why I'm gone now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't even like it. I would not have been okay. I would not have survived. I was also making no money when I first moved out. God bless college radio.
No money. You know how long we were making no money?
I know. But you know who's making big money out there in these streets?
I love the Seggy.
The same type of people who are comfortable doing. And I think Dave, we're going to make it short though.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Drizzy Drake.
Yo, man, why? Hold on.
You're doing this now.
I Googled that.
I've been wanting to know what this thing is because your video that you sent to that person's reaction still did not specify what was happening.
You don't want to know.
I do. So,
Dave, first off, respect to you for being able to dodge the finding out what this was about, because I feel in this day and age, this person doing the thing they did easily becomes rapid fire across the internet and everyone's talking about it.
But do we know though for sure?
Well, we know what the video was, and we know that even if they didn't do it, we still think it's a rollout, which is what a lot of people say.
I read a headline and said no thanks.
Yeah, a lot of people said first comment that people had was, oh, this is a rollout. He has new music coming out. So Drake supposedly, now there's a video of a man that appears to be Drake filming themselves while lying in their bed, Winnie the Pooh'd out, so just tops, no bottoms. Playing with their phallus. That is the most polite. That is the most polite professional way I could say that. The phallus looks like an inflatable, like arm man at
Mackie waving.
Yeah, it looks so fake and ridiculous that it was so funny to me because I was just like, this looks like they're holding a dildo and swinging it back and forth.
It was funny to you, like anyway.
It was funny because it looked stupid. It looked like
I understand,
it was funny. Like it doesn't look real.
You know why it looked funny? Because it looked like this person was like, "I'm gonna be the funniest meme on the internet."
Yeah,
like
so many questions.
This is what I as I saw this, I was just like, "What is wrong with this person?"
Yeah, wait, Skinny, did you see it?
No, I'm not trying.
Oh, okay. But if you
fake or not, I'm scared.
If you did see it though, I think you'd understand what we mean by funny.
It looks ridiculous. Well, Skinny, anyone you know,
yep,
filming themselves in a mirror, Winnie the Pooh'd out. So green hoodie, no pants, no drawers. Already you're like, what the fuck are you doing? What is happening? Why do you look like this? Why are you out here like that?
There's just a lot of questions. Of exactly. Yeah.
Just off of that. But then to be playing with your phallus like it's a joystick in a video game that you were trying to beat the final boss with was ridiculous. Holy like fuck. You look all types of stupid. And I was shocked. I was.
He doesn't even have to do that.
So the dudes. So wait. That kid's reaction.
Try and keep it.
That kid's reaction is because
he saw. Not a kid, not a
well,
child.
Sorry, I shouldn't say kid. Like the reaction that you guys showed me, because the only thing I saw was an Instagram reaction.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah.
It's because the dude was playing with his member.
Yeah, but it's one of the most famous people in the music industry playing with their members.
Well, I mean, that's stupid for someone, you letting someone grab your phone, because like if he sent that to someone, you're stupid. Let's just be serious.
Let's be honest, sent it intentionally knowing that it would leak. Like,
but like this person was having a reaction like, we not the same people, like straight up. Based off of the reaction of the video of what you saw, which you guys sent me, I was like, did he like go mad, like right wing or left wing or what? Is he like going against?
I think he's a bunch of racist.
I'm nervous because now I don't know. I don't.
It's just an odd. It's not just like somebody like.
But you know what?
Like their business. It's something. It's like it's just a weird video.
Does he look like a child? Like as if he's like 2 years old? Being
that's the thing. You don't really see his face, so that's why like there's controversy whether or not it's him.
Yeah.
So like you can't really see it. It just looks like his profile, and he's wearing like a hoodie. So it's not confirmed that it's him.
And again, Winnie the Pooh'd out. That's the thing. I feel like I'm like y'all acting like, oh, he's who out of you, anyone you know, why are you sending videos like that to anyone? Even if you thought it was sexy, I'm sorry. There's nothing sexy about being Winnie the Pooh'd out playing with your phallus.
Maybe he was cold.
No.
Wait, so like wait. So Wait, hold on. Was he trying to complete the mission, or was he just like...
Yeah, exactly. The ladder. Just playing with like, isn't this funny? I'm in high school and you're in my class and I'm sending you me playing with my joystick. That's right, how
he was just trying to like, you know, what was it? Helicopter his shit down there?
Sure, yes. Like, Dave, it looked like Goofy.
That's exactly it.
It looked like Goofy. Yuck, yuck. Like, that's what it
No. Oh, you can't be.
That's why the video is funny. Because it's like, what? Like, what's happening?
That's it.
I don't even know what I'm looking at.
And has there been any, like, comment from Drake's camp on it?
Supposedly, one of Drake's friends shared screen caps of a conversation in which he's like, yo, what is going on? What is this? And like Drake reacting like, yeah, I can't even believe. And it's just like some weird interaction. But I don't believe that's true either, because it's just like you're talking to your friend Drake and then sharing the screen caps. And Drake,
at that point, he's not your friend Drake anymore. You don't have that number. You're blocked. His numbers change. You don't exist.
Like in what world would someone do that thinking like, oh, this guy's going to still be my friend tomorrow? Like,
and this is not even be stush. Drake texts me tomorrow. I'm not telling none of you niggas for 6 to 8 months. After.
I thought we were friends. That's how you lose other friends, skinny. Straight up. Going for the bill instead of your homeboys who've been around your back since day one. What the hell?
It's not even about that. It's just like with this potential. I mean, listen, I understand the power. I understand, hey, keep your mouth shut because these things happen and they're looking at the new guy.
Yeah.
They're looking at you immediately.
I mean, Skinny, you and I have probably had the phone numbers of some relatively known rappers because you've done shows and stuff. I used to work in radio, so like I've done interviews and I had the contact number for some people. And I remember having the phone number for Thrust from who did Northern Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just thinking one time, like, I could just call one of the dudes who rapped on the song Northern Touch at any given moment.
Nah, and then it's weird.
I deleted the number because I kept thinking one day I'm going to do something stupid and be like, yo, dude, what's up? And I was like, nah. And it's all good because I wasn't even working at the radio station anymore. So it was kind of like, it's all good. But I just deleted the number. I was like, nope.
I feel the same way when I get messages from a certain someone in hip hop community at like 7 a.m. to be like, yo, you see this? And in my head, I'm just like, but you're friends with Dave Chappelle. Why are you
Oh, yeah.
Don't message me. Message him. Like, your friend's Dave. You doing them. Like, you just saw you just saw Black Thought and you're texting me.
Yeah.
So that Drake shit goes that far back. Now, whether it's him or not,
I don't think it's him. Secondly, if it is him, it's done for the gram. It's done just for the conversation. And he will never admit it's him because you don't see the face clear enough for anyone to prove it's him. He hasn't commented on it. So even if it was him, guess what? He gets away with it because you will Say what?
Does the person speak?
No. It's really, the clip is maybe 10 seconds.
It's a mute.
This is sus.
It's a mute video.
So Brian, if you're Drake, and whether it's you or not, and you're doing this for a rollout, you or not, this is the same week that Mos Def, Yasiin Bey, walks back his comments about
I heard. What exactly did he say? Because I didn't see the live.
Didn't get a chance to listen yet. I just saw Mos Def walks back comments. So if I'm Mos Def, and I'm walking back comments about things I said about you, kind of sideways, whatever.
Right.
This is the week you're going to release. You're going to release a My Diggling video, really? You're going to drop this week?
My Diggling video. I'll say this to people. For anyone who doesn't know or anyone who hadn't been paying attention, Mos Def was in an interview recently and was asked about music and spoke about Drake.
He got cornered and suckered by that girl.
So. Right. Mind you, I don't think it was that bad because I think he's allowed. It was a fair question to start asking about.
You know what I mean.
But that's fair. And then explained that he felt like Drake is like shopping music. Like, you know, I'm in the store, I'm at Target, and I'm hearing some, you know, Hotline Bling. And it's like, right. And people got upset because the implication was like, it's not real hip hop if it's playing in the store. I would dare say that as all of us in this room and anyone who's watching this and has listened to us for the last couple of years, when it comes to hip hop has become, and over not even just us, 10, 15 years, maybe almost 20 years, hip hop is pop. It became one of the main styles of pop. It has in the
because most, of Drake.
Not just Drake. I would say Drake definitely gets an annoying amount of praise for it, but
there was a lot of stepladders leading to him, but
you had Nelly.
Yeah, but he's the one that kind of
Drake is pop.
He ran.
Drake will get the points for the fact that they renamed what he was doing as pop rap. Mm-hmm. I'll give him that because they weren't calling what Nelly was doing pop rap. They weren't calling what Missy was doing pop rap. Those were rap songs. They were in the top 40.
Akon before that.
Akon, all of them.
All of them.
Exactly. Yeah. They didn't call it pop rap. They just called it rap, and that's what it was. And it was still playing on the top 40 stations because they not as much, but they were playing it. And then that blew up and it continued and Drake became who he is. And there's a bunch of other artists that he co-signed or, you know, you had like Kendrick and stuff like that. So hip hop itself in the past 10 years gets this huge, huge push. And then towards the last, I would say post pandemic, you start to see hip hop maybe not getting as much, but it kind of evolving into like different genres. Reggaeton starts blowing up.
SoundCloud rap
starts to blow up. Afrobeats starts to blow up. And there's elements
now. They're going for Afrobeats. That's a new one.
Afrobeats is like, if I told you how many clients I have that are asking me for Afrobeat stuff.
Of course. It's a new.
I'm not mad.
No, not and that's mad. Okay.
It's just a new.
But that's it. That's the thing. You can see, like, if you're watching music trends for like 10, 15, 20 years, you can see when things start to like spread.
You know when it started? You know when everybody shifted and said, hey, this Afrobeats thing, the minute French Montana and Swae Lee put that thing out. Mm. Like, Afrobeats was coming up before, but the minute people kind of like momentum shifted, it just said,
And we know, like, in the industry, in the music industry, there's that crossover. That's the idea of the crossover appeal. An artist wants to cross over. I actually had a conversation with one of my label reps recently, and we talked about the fact that, you have your artists that are top 40, you have your artists that are hot AC, which is, like, adult contemporary, and then you have AC. And the way the guy explained it, he was just like, AC is my grandma knows who they are. Hot AC is, like, my mom and her friends and like some of my friends who are disconnected know who they are, and top 40 is the youngins know who they are. And I was just like, okay. And you need your ideal artist gets to hot AC and AC. You want everyone to know their name. You want, like, you know, you want a Dua Lipa to pop off, and you have a track that's like the Barbie soundtrack, where because Barbie is such a prominent brand, just having a song on the album, Billie Eilish, Dua Lipa, almost all those tracks end up in AC because Barbie is a brand and carries that over. Uh-huh. And Drake is, you know, much the most deaf, and back to the beginning of the conversation, is AC. And guess what stores play? They play AC, adult contemporary, because when the people are walking through those stores, they want songs they recognize. And the songs they recognize are AC. They're the demographic for AC. So Mos Def wasn't wrong. So that's why when people are like, he had to walk back what he said, I'm like, walk back what? He wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong. It's not an insult.
But is this the week that you're dropping the My Dingling video? Want you to play with my... No, like, come on. Like, really? Fake or not? Is it, if you're Drake's team, you're not, that's not off the internet in 30 seconds?
Not that I was looking for it, but because I was showing, I was discussing in with friends, I was trying to show them the video. And by the time I like scrolled at one point, the video was gone. I was like, wow.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
But it was still there for like longer than I thought it would be.
I know. Right. Yeah.
You gotta be like WWE with their Monday Night Raw highlights. Like, if you go on YouTube, you search Raw highlights at 10:59, you'll get like a good hour of Raw. You search that shit at 11:03 and it's gone. You gotta be that quick. You can't be, especially if you're a silhouette of someone that might look like you. Yeah. I don't care if it looks like me. There's no video of me playing, just toying with my junk on the internet. No.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's crazy. And I don't think, and the people who are saying that this is a rollout thing, I hope not, because it's weird to me. Rollout.
That's where we've gone to now?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's where we're at.
It's going to be the intro to one of his music videos.
Stop. But it's part of what we're discussing actually touches on what Jay-Z said at the Grammys.
Yeah, let's go.
If we're going to talk about how hip hop has evolved and how artists have been seen and how the industry is what it is and then changes, Jay-Z goes up on stage recently to accept the, as I've heard some people call it, the Black Grammy Award. not only because it's a Dr. Dre award. I don't know if you guys noticed, the Grammy he's holding is
it's literally black. Every other
I
one
noticed
is,
that every, I thought it was so weird.
You slick mama jammas. Oh,
like,
man.
Every single one's gold, and then you give this one. I'm the surprised Dr. he Dre was just like,
why do I have a black Grammy? Anyways, that's a whole other.
I watched the whole Grammys, and I only noticed that after that it was a black award.
Well, because when you see him holding the award, in your head you're just like, he's wearing all black, so it kind of just, you don't even notice it. It's only when you watch that clip of him doing his speech over and over, because I watched it to like really get the gist of what he was saying. And I'm less like, I see him holding it, and then he like reaches for blue, and I'm like, is the award black?
Did she get super old really quick, or am I just nuts? Like, what happened to that?
No, yeah, she got she grew up fast.
She grew up dumb fast, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, like, yeah.
She's only 11.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Girl looks 15. Why is she so tall?
Well, they got her out here like full makeup, like ball gown.
Go
inside the house. You don't see Shuri Cruz out here like that. Go inside. That's crazy. Wow.
It's, I mean, if it when your mom's Beyonce, I guess this is the life you lead. Like, you don't really, and I didn't watch
your dad's Jay-Z. Like, it's,
I didn't watch the documentary, but
no matter where she goes,
say what? Sorry, Dave,
she ain't living a normal life no matter what she does.
No, none of those kids, her, North, all of them. We'll talk about North and her daddy and their track in a second, but to, with the Grammys, real quick. So, for those of you who didn't watch it, Jay-Z essentially said, you guys ignored hip hop for the longest time. You finally got onto hip hop. My wife, Beyonce, is one of the most decorated winners here, but has never won Album of the Year. By your own metrics, it doesn't make sense. How do you win the most Grammys by an artist, but you never win Album of the Year? And then he went on to say, some of y'all are going to feel like you got robbed. Some of you will get robbed. Some of y'all don't deserve to be in the categories. And the audience went, oh, to that comment. So,
idiots.
Let's have a quick moment of looking at this. I'll start with this part. The last thing he said, some of y'all don't deserve to be in the categories. Facts. Some people are in the categories because the industry thinks they need to put those people in the categories, the same way that the Oscars put some movies in certain categories because they think they need to put those movies or actors in categories, and they aren't necessarily the best at what they're doing. They aren't necessarily the most interesting or the best told story or the best written song, the best produced song, but they think they need to seem cool, or they think they need to seem informed, and they're putting these artists with some of the other artists to make that point. And I don't think Jay-Z was wrong to make that comment, and I think it was good for him to make that comment on stage at the Grammys in front of all those people and take the opportunity to be like, I'm calling you out. You want to give me an award? You want to say I've had an impact? I've done a bunch of work? Cool. I'm just going to remind you, y'all are only just getting to the table now.
Yeah, he's not wrong. I just think it was a bit rude how it came across.
Damn right.
Like, no, which, yeah, obviously it's like, who cares at the same time? But I guess I'm more diplomatic in that sense. Like, there's like a nicer way of saying it.
Yeah.
But
if it's during my acceptance, I'm about to go off.
But some of the artists that are there, like, it's not necessarily their fault for whatever he's feeling, right? So for him to just be like, some of you don't deserve to be here, like, it's just rude. But I agree that it's true.
Who does, out of curiosity, because I don't know the answer to this.
Okay.
Who does the nominating? Like, is it a like, lack of a better term, a board of directors of the Grammys who says na-na-na-na-na? Or is it like some type of electoral thing from their peers?
Well, I'm concerned. I thought you had to submit yourself for it to be nominated.
Yeah, I don't think it's not peers. It's like a committee.
It's a board of people that you most likely will never talk to ever. And for like us to even get in the room with these people, you have to do some shady shit.
Because isn't that like just the same concept of like how we've talked about the Oscars, where it's like, well, if you missed one year,
and then the Oscars is a window, and you have to like the production company submits Project X for this category, Project Y for that category.
They have to have been in like the theater,
right? For like a certain
amount of time. I think the Grammys is the same thing too. Don't you have a window for the Grammys as
and all
well?
That?
Yes, the Grammys does have a window. I just don't know if you submit. I think you have to release your project in the window. I don't think you have to submit yourself in the window. Like if you, I know that to be considered an album, you had to have either like 10 tracks and a runtime of 60 something minutes at one point. Then they reduced that to 7 because people were starting to confuse EPs and albums. There's a bunch of things that they were like going up and down about. I might be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But I do know that they made changes at one point with regards to how many tracks or how long something had to be an album versus an EP, which is extended play, which was usually shorter, like six tracks.
I'll just quickly say, in to Jay-Z's comment regarding the metrics and how their things don't work. I just remember, I had to Google it. I remember there was one year where it was 2009. Not sure which album was up in the hip hop or album of the year category, but I know that I wanted this person to win. And Robert Friggin Plant and some Allison girl ended up winning for an album no one heard of. Robert Plant and Allison Cross, I believe, ends up winning the Grammy Award for Album of the Year in 2009. And I'm just like, what? Where'd this come from? And I'm not sure if it was 2009. That could have been a Kanye year. That could have been a Drake year. But I just remember being like, nah, that's bollocks. And basically being like, yeah, this whole thing's broken. It's not for Buffalo, not for us. So
bollocks.
I've given up on the Grammys. And if I'm Jay-Z, who's trying to revolutionize things from the NFL to Marcy, why are you even trying to have this conversation at the Grammys when you know what it's about? Boy, you're rich. Start your own Grammys like you did Tyler. That's it.
I think you're talking about a different year, though, because it says it was Taylor Swift 2009.
Dang.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Grammy but we'll look up Robert Plant, Alice Cross, Grammy Award for Album of the Year, the 51st Grammy Awards on February 2009. Yeah, so what year was that?
Maybe it wasn't for Album of the Year, though.
Maybe. Hold on. I'm just going to.
Best Contemporary Folk. Record of the Year, not Album of the Year.
Okay.
Record of the Year is like a single, it's like one track.
Okay.
So they won Record of the Year in 2000. The 51st. I don't know.
Year that is. That could have been like, it was 51st, but.
Yeah, they won Record of the Year for Please Read the Letter.
Yeah.
Cool story, bro. I don't even know who they are.
Neither.
Skinny.
All sorts of shade.
Do you want to give us a 2 seconds a reaction about the Cody wrestling thing? Because I want to let Dave jump into that.
Yeah, I'll lead right into that. As I told you before we started, rumor has it that it's all a ploy to reenact the Daniel Bryan Yes movement from 10 years ago. If that is what they're doing, they're going about it wrong.
Yeah.
If it is what they're doing now because they realize people are not really down with Rocky, you're going about it wrong. And once again, this kind of, I feel like CM Punk is just trying to ruin wrestling because this thing is coming in, getting injured, screwing up whole plans for WrestleMania. And then he did it at AEW where he won the championship and then he got injured and then they had to have a whole like interim championship fumble mess. And now here he's supposed to face Seth Rollins. He turns around, gets injured. Seth is mad injured. They're trying to pivot to make someone that we care about face Seth that we could know. No one cares. And well, you're making me not like Cody. You're making me not like The Rock. You're making me love Roman. You're doing it wrong.
If anything, that's what they might be trying to do is get people to turn like Roman into like a face, maybe. But
then they'll give him the when then what make Cody heel? I don't know.
But the thing is,
has Roman been heel this whole time?
Roman has always been heel. Even when he was face, he was heel.
Don't do that. I rocked you.
There was a bunch of people. Look,
he was
people hate that guy.
They made him. They were trying to make him the next John Cena. The only thing is that it failed miserably, and this guy was just taking the brunt of it. So he was supposed to be like feeling the greatness and happiness, whatever. And then all he's hearing is "you suck, you suck, you suck." You could actually like watch video essays of this and watch pivotal moments where in his face, he's like, "Yo, but what am I doing wrong?" And he's like to tears about it.
Well, and it's funny that you say that because The Rock had the exact same thing. Because in Young Rock, they literally show you that he went through that where he just didn't understand why they weren't connecting with him when everyone was trying to put him over and kind of make him a face. The public just didn't like him and was hating on him.
Roman just went a lot longer.
But
Dave, I'll let you hold this.
I understand why there's the fan reaction because the fan reaction is really simple. So as Skinny was saying, Roman's been what? He's been with WWE for, let's say, like 10 years, 9 years, 8 years on the main roster. he's been a glorified, like, you know, like, management loved him. Like, this guy's been given everything. He has, like, I think he's, like, main evented, like, 7 WrestleManias, which is, okay, like, really, again, on the main roster for 8 years. He's been at WrestleMania's main event for 7.
Jesus Christ.
Like, okay, that's a lot. Like, you can't deny that that's a lot. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, that's maybe 9 years on the roster, but still, like, over 50% of the time you've been there,
yeah,
you've been pushed to the top. Every, like, this guy, they made him go out once a suffering succotash, and they still gave him a title. And people were like, dude, this guy is bad. Because he's bad, not just in the sense of, like, it's not that you went made him go say suffering succotash. It's that he should have been like, hey, I ain't going to go out there and say that because it's not the fucking 1950s here. Bugs Bunny isn't the best thing that's hitting everything, right?
So who was writing the script that had this man?
Vince McMahon. It's clearly that Vince McMahon put him under his wing of protection. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to mention him that much because of obvious reasons, but, sure, like, so you have a guy who, and I'm not saying he's not talented. I want to make that clear. He does seem to be a very intelligent person, and I've always said that his timing of things since Jump has been really good. Mm. Like, a lot of his movesets are things that, like, if you time it wrong, you're hurting someone. And he's, right, I don't think he's ever really caused a major injury to somebody else that I know of.
So he's a good performer, essentially.
Well, he was always good timing-wise, but then, like, positioning, telling a story in the ring, telling a story on the microphone, that took... Because, like, now, if you look at him now, he looks like a golden boy now, but that's because, right, you gave him, like, when you're 10 years or 9 years forced at the top, no matter if you do good or bad... You're, yeah, eventually going to learn how to do it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not, and again, yeah, I'm not taking bench. Anything, you know, I'm not telling you that he's useless or anything like that, but, like,
no.
If other people did that, they did, in some cases, they would even be like, okay, so you're going back to, like, the minor leagues. This guy's never, he's always had a shield
on. He's him. Never dropped down, even, yeah, though, okay.
Exactly.
And this is Reigns.
This is Reigns. Since like, day one.
And do some people think it's because of who his lineage is?
There's been that, but let's just be honest. Those, like, how
can you remind people who his family? Well,
he's, you know, he's part of the Iona family, which, you know, you have The Rock, you have Jey Uso, you have,
oh, not, you, right, have Rikishi,
yeah, they're related to Yokozuna, yeah. You know, Rocky's dad and whatnot, the Wild, right, Samoans. Like, there's, yeah, a lot of,
he comes from a legacy.
He comes, okay, from a pure legacy family. So maybe
so there was probably the, why he was.
That's well,
why he was, like, so protected.
Well, that, and the fact that, like, when you look at Roman, like, he looks like, I won't lie, like, the guy's, like, you know,
he's a poster boy.
Yeah, he's good looking, he's jacked, like, you know, like, he has all that fun stuff that they want.
Yeah, he has the, like, nice tattoos.
Yeah, like, you're not gonna have, like, a guy who looks like he's in dump, like, coming from, like, being a bum versus him. You're gonna make him even if he can't wrestle, right?
Right.
So,
yeah, nowadays the bodies for wrestlers are very much in line with that look, more so than when we were kids and you had Bam Bam Bigelow and even Rhodes Sr., who was, like, a big guy. Like, you had big, heavy set. Yeah,
well, even if you look back at when Hulk Hogan was originally Hulk Hogan, yes, he had massive arms, but he had a gut. Like, yeah, no one, yeah, really points out that, but he had a gut and stuff. He wasn't, like,
yeah, he had, like,
a model or anything like that.
He was,
you,
like,
know,
the old school dad bod, where, exactly, it's just, like, yeah, yeah, okay.
So, hey, then you, sorry, have that, which people, they got accustomed to it, but even now he's had the title for, like, 3 years straight. Like, he's beating, like, he's close to beating the longest reigning champion with someone who did it for 4 years back in the 50s when it was, like, wrestling wasn't that important, but everyone knew this guy's name, so he had it for four whatever many years, right?
Right.
And then you go to someone like Cody, who's a son of a, who's the, whose dad was the son of a plumber. And Dusty Rhodes never got to have the championship. He got it once, like, non-televised, and it was taken away from him right away. And Cody Rhodes got into the industry, cut his teeth really hard in WWE. At one point in time said, I'm not going to stand this anymore because you are mistreating me like you're mistreating my brother and my dad. I'm going to go away and build my brand.
Speaking of brother, his brother's Goldust.
Did
Goldust ever hold the title?
He, not the title, but he got tag team titles and intercontinental titles. Like,
that's what I thought. Okay.
He just, but he was never put to that top tier. And, right, at one point in time, Cody was like, you're like, he was Cody. And then they made him Stardust so that he could be with Goldust.
Right.
And took, like, a comparative look and feel. And you could tell that he was like, although he had fun with it because he made himself sometimes look like Mr. Sinister and whatnot. He's been very open about how he's like a nerd and stuff.
Right.
That's cool. At and one point,
what is the top belt for those who don't know?
Because for those who don't know, well, it's either they've always had their WWE championship, but they also at sometimes have like the WWE championship and the world championship, one representing each brand.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point unifying them and then also breaking them back apart. Roman Reigns, just so like to, again, to show like how much he's like been given everything. Cause like, again, all those WrestleManias, won Royal Rumbles, all these things at one point in time, he had both, not undisputed because it was together in one. He was like, I'm the champion. I want to fight the other champion from the other show. I'm taking both of them. And then I'm going on a part-time basis with the titles, both of them. So you're like, you have to understand that's a lot of heat.
Yeah, right.
Like that's a lot. And the one thing I do give him, like he did come back from leukemia. So like,
oh wow,
you deserve a certain degree of credit. Like I'm not denying that he doesn't deserve any credit, right?
Okay.
But the thing is this: you have this guy who's been given everything, and 3 years in the making, you're like, okay, like I'm tired of seeing you win all the time, type thing. Because he was never lost. Like he didn't lose. I think for like a 2 year period, and the one time he lost was for like a no match. It didn't matter.
Sure.
Then you have Cody, who's like, I've had enough. I'm going to leave. He leaves, makes a massive mark on the industry. He goes from like this weird dusty gimmick or gold dust stardust gimmick, which it's no shot at that. It was a good gimmick, but like,
you know, I get
you obviously don't want to repeat but that because you know where you're going to go.
Yeah. And he became like an American hero type.
Exactly. But what he did is because that was American Dream. He went on the independence and he's like, well, I'm going to be a bad guy. I'm going to be the American Nightmare.
Right.
And he flipped it. Right. And he does amazing on the independents to the point that he makes his own company with AEW. He makes AEW successful. Then ultimately says, well, I want to go back. And what has he done? He comes back and he's been carrying the company. Like, don't get me wrong, there's other key players. But if you had to like put a small group of people together, say these are the people who've been holding it down and carrying the company on their back, it's him, to even the point that within the first 6 months of him wrestling, he once got his pec torn.
I remember that
he went into a fight and it was disgusting. Like,
yeah, it was all bruised.
Yeah, and people chopped it, man. Like, for those who don't know what chopping is, it's like when people basically slap you with a chop of the back of your hand on the.
Yeah. That's
it. There's no.
Ness, honestly,
that hurts on a regular day.
If you look up pictures, just look up Cody Rhodes, like damaged pectoral, and it was just like, I remember seeing the pictures. It was like as if he got a blue ink tattoo.
Yeah.
Across his chest, and I was like, what is this?
And blue, then I found purple out, and
it, I found was that gross. It was like a torn pec, and I'm like, this guy's wrestling with a damaged pectoral muscle. Anyways,
and no like protecting him in that match either. Like he was getting hit and thrown around as if it wasn't there. Like if anything, the guy was actually going out of his way to hit it because he's like, well, I'm not gonna pretend that it doesn't exist.
Can you share your screen?
My screen?
No, Janessa. I'm wondering if she has she can present because then we can show people just how messed up it is.
Yeah.
And by the way, don't forget, folks, if you're listening to this on Spotify, you can always just click to open up the video because we always upload the video for our episodes. So you can check out and whenever we're talking about, like, we're looking at this on screen. All right, I'll add this to the stage.
So that's gross.
As you guys can see, the whole right side of his body underneath his tattoo is blue and purple all the way down to like ribs.
It's half his chest and the bicep that's attached to that part. It's really gross. And like watching that match was not, it wasn't fun. So regardless, he does all this. He fights that match, leaves for a while for the injury, comes back, wins the Royal Rumble. He's going to WrestleMania. And everyone's like, okay, cool. Finally. Finally, he's gonna end his story, his legacy, not even himself, but his family's legacy. Like they get to have the title finally, legit, televised, not taken away, goes to WrestleMania, loses. And everyone's like, what the actual fuck is going on here? Like, what is actually happening? And then they start going with this story, and you're like, you kind of realize right away, like, okay, cool, like. You're going to go next year to WrestleMania again. And if you win next year, and like, that's cool because now it's like, there's this, because always when you follow the baby face, it's always fun to follow them. But once they get the title, they could fizzle. Right.
Right.
But this way they're trying to make it like, no, he's going to be that baby face that when he wins, people will love it for months. Right.
Right. So right.
He does the whole circuit again. She does the whole thing all over again and like goes away from Reigns, ups all these people, tells all these like decent storylines, goes back to WrestleMania. Is now the only fourth person to, it's not just winning a Royal Rumble, two Royal Rumbles, but back to back.
Yeah.
Including himself. There's only four other people who've done that. I think one of them is Stone Cold and I forget who the other two are. And then you're like, sick. And then once he wins the Rumble, like you have the two champions are sitting in two different skyboxes, right?
Right.
And once he wins the match, it's like he looks up to one. He's like, wait, that's not Roman. Turns around. He's like, and he points at him and points at the sign. And you're like, okay, sick. Good. Amazing. Next night.
We're setting up for the big main event
like,
now.
The payoff that everyone wants, because now you're like, everyone's officially tired of Roman probably holding the title right now. Let's just be honest. Right. And Roman is now good enough that you're like, you don't need the title anymore.
Right.
Like some people, it's like you can chase the title for a long time, but if you never get it, that's when you're going to lose that person as an asset. Like there's like example, if anyone knows him, there's a guy named Dolph Ziggler. They always teased him getting the title, gave it to him. Like they gave it to him after 5 years. And the next time he won the title was 10 years after that. And people were like, we do not care about you having the title. It does not matter. Okay. Now you're at this point. You're like, okay, we're going to do it. It's great. Do you smell what the Rock is cooking? Screw you. Slap Cody out of the picture. And now I'm going to fight you for the Roman at WrestleMania for the title. And you're kind of there. You're like, no, like, no, like this is not like, why?
And so to wrap it, essentially, you as a wrestling fan, and I know Jaws had a similar vibe with this, and I think, I don't know where Skinny stood on it, but your feeling is that Cody should have been given the chance to do and end the legacy, bring it full circle, and The Rock coming back in when he did, getting the deal with TKO, being on the board, coming in. Some people think all that was his payment, like getting his the rights to The Rock name and everything. Mm-hmm. All of that is his payment, and he gets to do this WrestleMania thing, and he's going to fight his own cousin?
Well, little cousin? Well, that's the thing. So, like, that, like, again, if you didn't have a good story for WrestleMania, cool.
Right. But
you did.
Right.
B, although, yes, CM Punk was injured, and you're like, what are you going to do with the other title? There was another opponent who was supposed to fight Brock Lesnar. Now, Brock Lesnar's out of the picture. And that other opponent, his name is Gunther, he's been hinting for months that he wanted to go for that other title. So, like, if two people are injured, remove them and add that, make that the match, you know?
Yeah.
And then when it comes to this, the other thing that I find disappointing as a person who likes good stories and have told stories through comic books or even through how we've done things through here.
Yeah.
Rock versus Roman should be for, like, Roman claims he's the head of the table. And he's always claimed that about his family.
Okay.
Him against The Rock should not be about a title. It should be about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there's just so many things wrong with it as like a fan. And if you, and the funny thing is, I don't even like Roman Reigns all that much as a character.
But you're just saying,
I don't even like Cody that much as a character.
But storyline wise, as a writer, as a fan of stories, you see the better story was there. And they're giving the better story up for what is potentially a bought story.
Yeah.
Like The Rock kind of bought his way into the.
Yeah. And the only thing that like, I believe it was actually Jaws who said it to us. Like I do give the kudos of like, well, if it would be a WrestleMania where there would be two people of color, as opposed to two like Caucasians, I get that.
That was the thing, right? Jaws was saying that this is going to be the first time in the 40 years of WrestleMania that the main event is going to be two people of color. And it, announcing that through Black History Month, like, Janessa pulls up her, it's almost like the sipping the tea, right? Like, it is kind of like fantastic. And I don't know if Jaws was being facetious when he posted it or if he was being legit about it, but I do see that as an interesting thing. Although WrestleMania itself doesn't take place until later, isn't it?
The last week of March, the last week of March or the first week of April type thing.
Right, so it's not even going to be Black History at the time. So it's not like you're doing it for Black History. You announce it during Black History. Cool story, bro. But the announcement doesn't actually change the fact that you know, at this isn't happening during Black History. But I will say, as a wrestling fan who hasn't really been watching for the longest time, the idea that the main event is going to be two people of color for the first time in 40 years, I kind of want to watch that. I'm not going to lie.
I admit that it's a very cool thing to do.
Yeah.
But to make it at the expense of, basically, if you add the two characters, what they've been doing, right, it's essentially like Roman Reigns, what, 4 years in the making of who should dethrone him and why.
Right.
Cody Rhodes being like, I am a wrestler now. I'm not a part-timer like Roman, who's like here 50% of the time. I'm not someone like The Rock, who's going to be here 10% of the time.
Right.
I'm here every week. We've done these great stories, and like the natural fan reactions, again, I think it's just more from the concept of like, you're just coming in and taking it away. And to Skinny's point, there was a scenario a while ago where a triple threat was set up because something similar happened to another wrestler. And they did it because the last outpour of it was just like, we won't, almost borderline people were like, we don't even want to watch it.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like that's gaining this vibe a little bit. Like, people will watch it because it's WrestleMania, but like, I don't know. I just, it sits unwell.
It sounds like a money grab.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Like, I think they're just trying to pull everyone in to watch, and it's what's going to happen because they're two big names.
And especially when you're on the board, I'm sure now that The Rock's on the board, he's just like, well, I wouldn't mind a little extra money in the coffers once we're done with this. So,
and the spotlight.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because The Rock does technically need this as an actor, because I got to say, the last few Rock projects, Black Adam, and then has he done anything since Black Adam? What's the last thing he did?
Nothing worth reminding ourselves about.
I don't think
he did Fast and the Furious. I don't know if that was recent, though.
Yeah,
he was at the end of it.
Just a cameo.
But like,
no. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm thinking of what is it? Hobbs and Shaw?
That's a while ago. Yeah. But
it was a while ago.
It's funny though. It's funny that you said it though, because you're not wrong. The last Fast and Furious movie, he is in the post credit scene.
Yeah.
Which, you know, everyone was just
and I was thinking of Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
But like, needless to say, this thing, it puts a bad taste in people's mouths.
That's fair.
Because it's also a blatant, I think it's also because you have two wrestling dynasties, which I agree with.
Yeah.
But like, one wrestling dynasty, being The Rock's dynasty, has always been, for the most part, been given what they deserve because of hard work.
Yeah.
You spat on Dusty Rhodes 30, 40 years ago, however long he was wrestling ago. You don't need to do this to his son, especially since he proved you wrong on every single thing you doubted him about.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'll finish it off with this section right before we go into View the Right Thing with a little bit of news. This was a Jaws D mention. Also, shout outs to our friend Mish, who is a big fan of F1 racing. Lewis Hamilton is going to Ferrari in 2025. And I bring that up because Jaws wrote it. I bring it up because Mish mentioned it. I bring it up because it is huge. I don't watch F1 at all. I don't pay attention to this stuff. You know, I have friends who keep telling me I should check it out. But when I did look up the Lewis Hamilton leaving Mercedes for Ferrari for 2025, the amount of videos and YouTubes and conversations, like the entire F1 world is losing its mind over this decision. And I mean, these guys make so much money already for these races. Like, I can only imagine how much money he's going to be getting switching teams. And he's one of the, from what I understand, Lewis is, I would say, one of the most popular drivers, because I don't pay attention to this industry at all, and I know who he is. And he's one of the best drivers, because it's not like, I might be aging myself even more again, but you guys remember the tennis player Anna Kournikova?
Yep.
Blonde one? Yep. You remember? Okay. Ness, she was popular purely because she was pretty. She wasn't a good tennis player.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, that was the thing. And it was kind of, I knew a lot of other, like, I not personally, but I knew the vibe in the industry and the tennis scene was kind of like, y'all pay so much attention to this blonde, blue-eyed Russian wonderkin, even though she is not a contender, when there are so many other people in the sport doing way better, but they don't look like Maxim cover girls. And I just remember that was always a thing. So Lewis Hamilton actually is a Maxim cover boy, if you want to put it that way. But also,
yeah, well, he's been, sorry, I was just going to say he's been in the industry forever. Like, he started out when he was a kid and he was in the junior league, and then he moved on to F1. So he's been around like for the longest time.
Right. He's got the look, he's got the talent. So, you know, congrats to him. Ferrari is a huge company. I mean, Ferrari is Ferrari. We're talking about, they got their cars. And, you know, didn't they just make a movie with Adam Driver about Ferrari?
Yeah, they did.
Adam Driver just starred in the movie about Ferrari, right?
Yeah. I don't know the name of it or whatnot, but like, yes,
it's called Ferrari.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. So, I almost feel bad for Ferrari that, like, had this news come when the movie had come out, it might have helped the movie, because my understanding was the movie did not get a lot of love. And this is the type of press that you get that helps a movie with a little bit of buzz. Like, you know, those people who are kind of like, ooh, I want to see the history of Ferrari because now this guy's going to be driving for them. Like, how did they start? Why are they popular? Why is this even more important? And maybe it'll get that bump now, but it could have used it when it was out originally, because from my understanding, it didn't do well, folks. It did not.
Yeah, but from what I know, I think Ferrari is one of the top teams in F1. Yeah. So him going up to, him moving to Ferrari is, like, wow. I feel like, yeah, like, it's just like a plan for... I don't even know what to say. It's like, I think they're just going to come after everyone.
And Mercedes was pretty popular too. So it's kind of like, if we're using like sports analogies, it would be like going from, at least back in my day, going from like the Lakers to the Celtics or vice versa. Like, those two teams are rivals. They're two of the best, and switching from one to the other would have been seen as like, you bastard, you turncoat. Like, but you know, in this industry, with F1, I don't even think they care about it that much. I imagine a lot of these drivers respect each other, especially if you're going to be on that track. No? Oh, okay. You're both giving me the...
No, you should... I think you should watch, because there's actually a documentary on Netflix. It's really good, actually.
I just imagine
there's so much drama, like more drama than you think.
I just can't imagine being... Because it's one thing if I'm playing basketball and there's like five guys on each side and like another 5 to 10 on the bench deep, and you switch teams and you have, but the league F1 is really only the drivers, like you have the pit crew and stuff, but I'm talking about the people who are actually in the cars driving on the track, where, knock on wood, they risk their lives because they are driving at very, very dangerous speeds, where the slightest adjustment of a steering wheel, and they have to process information super fast. And that's why in my head, I'm kind of thinking, like, even if you don't like a person, you hopefully at least respect them, because y'all are about to put your lives on the line to entertain these people and win titles. But no, okay, if you guys tell me,
I'm trying to think of the right way to word it.
But Ness, what were you gonna say?
Well, I think there's respect on the track,
right?
Like when they're driving and whatnot, but once they're off the track,
okay.
Because it's just like, you know, how can I say it? There's this thing where people say that when you're in sports, whenever you've entered, your mindset kind of stays the same. So, like, example, if you enter a sport at 18 and you're successful at that sport, you have a relatively 18 to 21 year old mentality for a significant period of time until like something significant happens in your life.
Oh, interesting.
And I would associate that concept probably as the same, like, to this.
The competitive edge that they feel.
Let me put it this way. When someone makes millions of dollars at an extremely young age and they consistently make millions of dollars for a decade and they don't experience heartache, they don't experience the concept of like loss compared to like, you know, we were talking about rent 2 seconds ago. They don't give a fuck about rent.
Yeah.
They own the building of your rent. You know, so with no care comes no responsibility, comes no maturity.
Oh, I mean, I didn't watch the doc, so I don't know how those guys are. I wouldn't say that. I can't say I know how mature they are. I can only say
it just seems like a cutthroat industry. Like, it's not something that is, I don't know. When I see the documentary, it's not like basketball or hockey or like one of those types of sports. It's very everyone is like fending for themselves. It's that kind of sport.
It's borderline like the top tier actors, because there's unlike, let's say, golf, where you could go on golf, as long as you hit the ball and you score the points, you're good.
Yeah,
there's only so many cars that they're going to give. These cars are millions of dollars. They ain't just going to hand to anybody.
Yeah. There's limited space. No, that's fair.
And also, there's only on top of that, there's in that industry, not many people. Like, there's like number one, number two, you never heard of him.
Yes. That's definitely a thing. Like, when I was a kid, it was Michael Schumacher. And then now it's like, I know Lewis.
You can't even name anyone else.
I'm being real. Like, I only know. And Lewis Hamilton, I feel like I know because, one, he's Black, British. Like, you know, I know when he came out, there was a whole conversation about like your idea of an F1 driver has completely changed, because he was just someone who looked different than the standard image of what I'd seen my whole life. You know, like every time they have these movies about these F1 drivers, just a bunch of blonde, blue eyed dudes, like every time. And I'm just like, cool, not really a sport for me. And then you have Lewis Hamilton comes along. He's British, he's good looking, and he just keeps killing it. He's driving for Mercedes, and now to switch to Ferrari. It's really interesting. So we got our View to Write Things to jump into. So we'll play our little random intro. We'll play a little. I just like the idea that weird spacey track. Shout out to StreamYard. There we go. I love how weird everyone gets when they hear this track. View the Right Thing this week. I can do My American Fiction in 1 minute, in less than a minute. It's good. Oh boy, go see it. Great acting, great story, super interesting. Black History Month, kind of like almost perfect Black History Month movie to see. If you don't know the story, it's about a writer who is trying to comment on the idea that white liberals like to live in the Black trauma porn of literature, and that's it. And it's the movie is very entertaining, and it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go, and I like that. I kind of expected a very specific thing, and then it was different, and I was just like, cool. And one other comment, the what's the other one that's about to come out that I was worried about?
The Negro the one, the magicians of the,
not the magicians, but
it's Secret Society or something.
Secret Society of the Magical Negroes. Because of American Fiction, I'm willing to give that movie a chance, because a trailer had me thinking one thing about American Fiction, and it was very different. And that trailer for Secret Society of Magical Negroes had me thinking, very unfortunate that it was just going to be a rom-com, and I'm hoping that it's going to be different. So,
trailers.
Oh, you don't watch trailers at all?
I'm saying don't watch trailers. I don't recommend anyone to watch trailers. It's always very misleading, and it makes you go into a movie with preconceived notions, and then it ruins the experience, and it ruins it just
at best teaser.
I sometimes need a trailer to get hype, though. Like, I won't go long, but A Quiet Place Day One with Lupita and Hunsu, I saw that trailer and I was like, no,
some trailers are good and they do a good job at selling it, but most of the time they're not good and they're misleading or they make it look like trailers for me are usually a miss. But
there they give away all the key scenes in some shape or form.
Yeah. Jamon Hunsu. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure I say his name properly. But yeah.
Yeah, they either give away the movie or it's completely misleading. And then you watch the movie and you're like, what? Like,
yeah, American Fiction, the trailer had me thinking it was going to be one thing. And it was 50% of that one thing and then 50% something else. And I very much enjoyed it. So that's my take. Dave, you wanted to talk about Lyft. Can you give it to me in 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah. So I will say this out loud. I am biased because A, I like action movies, and B, I really like heist movies. This movie is not a good representation of either of those.
Thank you. I didn't want to say it because I saw it too, and I was just like, oh, why are you even doing this movie?
No, yeah. it's like, look, like straight up, like
Kevin Hart, stop.
Kevin Hart, like stay in your lane, bro. Like like straight up. So he's supposed to be serious in the movie, but he hits many times where he has that, you know, when he does his comedic stuff, he has like a pitch in his tone of voice. Like, okay, the gag is happening now.
Yes,
I'm
gonna
hear that gag right now.
It's like a higher pitch.
Oh yeah, it's like, yeah. Like you know,
yeah.
Higher octane.
Every time something was getting serious, he'd be talking like, "Come on over here, whatever." And I was there like, "No, stop it." Yeah. And like straight up, when he did, I forget the name of the movie when he did two of them with Ice Cube, when Ice Cube's the cop and he was joining.
Oh yeah.
Ride Along.
Yeah, he didn't do that in Ride Along. I never thought in Ride Along that he was like, you know, he had like a seriousness to him. In this movie, I was like, this is not, you're not selling me,
Dave. Like, do you know Ride Along is 10 years old?
Yeah, don't even, guys. Let's move.
Ride Along is 10 years old. Funny,
old.
Ah, that's wild. Anyway, sorry, Dave.
What I'll give this movie that's is. Wild. The CGI was not campy.
True.
The scenery and the visuals, I will give you that.
Yeah.
But that's this fair. Movie, A, random as fuck. There were so many times I'm like, you told me something you were going to do and now you're not doing it, but somehow you're still getting to the goal of what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm like really confused.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, right off jump, not believable that you got, first of all, we don't thieve. We lift so we feel good about our conscience because we don't use bad words about stealing.
Also, I gotta say one thing. The fact that they kept thinking the twist, like they had a twist in it that they thought they were getting away with. And the whole time you're watching the movie, you're just like, so when are they going to reveal that this and this equals this? Yeah. And then when they did it, you're just like, yeah, okay, so I just wasted 90 minutes.
What? Spoiler alert. Oh, one of the guys doesn't want to go on the mission anymore. Oh, okay, so that's the guy who's doing the thing that's going to make you guys not get screwed at the end.
Right, anyways. Exactly.
But the thing that irked me immediately, and again, this is one of those things that's key about movies when you're doing heist movies. You have to believe the people are capable.
Yeah.
And you either do that through a montage at the beginning of some point type of like, they've stolen a bunch of shit, this and that.
Yeah.
You're immediately following this team and they're like, the cops are on them. They know the team is there. So, okay, you're not being espionage about it. All right. The only thing you know is that they're saying they got away with a lot of stuff. Okay, cool. They finished their first heist. Caught immediately.
Yeah.
And the most lazy, like, oh, we got what we want. Let's party. The next day when they're hungover, yo, where's Dante with the fucking cops? Because you didn't finish the heist, he got caught.
Yeah.
And then, oh yeah, now you're gonna work for the CIA. I'm like, this is Fast and Furious of stealing. Yeah, this is sucks. Yeah.
you've given it to them. Honestly, folks, this is the type of movie that if you have nothing else to watch and nothing else to do, and you're just like, you know what, I might as well watch this. Guess what? Don't.
You can still watch something else if you really have nothing. My one thing I will say though, and I know me and Brian like heist movies and we like action movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My partner watched it and she was like, that's good. And I'm like, if you have no reference point of what is a good action / thief movie, you might like it.
Yeah. If you didn't watch other heist films and you watch this one, you might be like, oh, this is cool.
Like Ocean's 12. I still find that movie campy compared to like a lot of heist movies, way better.
Yeah.
Or 11, whatever those numbers.
11. Are. Or even 8. Ocean's 8 was fine. Ness, you got us cooking in the kitchen. I heard our boy Kahlua is making so he's stirring it.
Yes. So his directorial debut, The Kitchen,
which is Netflix. Which is big.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's not just him. It's him and what's his name again? His name is...
My first thought when I heard this was his directorial debut was, I wonder how much he picked Jordan Peele's mind, like his brain. Because didn't Peele Oh, you made a face like they're not even talking. I'll finish my thought because I know that Peel and Kahlua joked about how they would almost want to be the Scorsese and De Niro to each other.
Really?
Yeah, I'll try and find the quote. I'll try and find the quote, but I'll let you go.
I love the sound of that. But no, this movie is... So the other director is Kibwe Tavares.
Hmm.
So him and Daniel Kahlua directed the movie together. I did read a bit of backstory on it, and apparently this started, I think they started talking about it in 2014.
Oh, wow.
It started like at a barber shop, something like that. And they only started recording it in 2022, filming in 2022.
Oh, wow.
So there's a long, like, they've been working on it for a really long time. Mm. But unfortunately, I didn't love it.
Oh, so, shit. Not what I expected. I really
let me explain. So the movie is like about a dystopian future. It takes place in like 2044. And all housing has been eliminated, and there's only this one neighborhood left called the Kitchen. Okay. Which is kind of like the slum. Like it's kind of like where all the poor people live. Like and the main actor, I can't remember his name right now, but the main character in the movie is trying to escape the Kitchen. But while trying to do that, he meets a boy, a kid named Benji, and things kind of take a turn. So there were so many interesting things about the movie, and I feel like it was kind of no direction.
Oh no. The kid's like, name is you said Benji. Oh, it
Benji is the kid's name, yeah.
Yeah, so
I think the main actor is Izzy or something.
Yeah, so that's Kano, the rapper, yeah. The British rapper. Kano,
yes, Robinson. The rapper, exactly.
And then Jadea Bannerman plays Benji.
Benji, exactly. Yeah. So what was I saying now? Yeah, so the way it was shot was really, like, the cinematography was beautiful. They filmed it in this area called, it's not the Kitchen, but it's a neighborhood in Paris.
Okay.
And they do a lot of like diving into the neighborhood and the culture, and there's a lot of like English slang. It's really, really heavy on the slang, so I would suggest watching the subtitles.
Oh yeah,
because a lot of it is hard to understand if you don't have subtitles. But it was really interesting to see like the slang, how they speak to each other, the community vibe, the look of the neighborhood. Like it was very well done in that sense, but the story itself was very flat. Damn. For me.
Okay.
I know. Think... It's unfortunate because I really wanted to love it. But like,
Do you think he could have used more Peel? Like, if the story.
Did they really talk though? Like, because the story didn't at all seem similar to anything Peel has done.
No. Okay. So I did find the part where they explain it. It's so funny. He says, but by the point I was in the middle of shooting Get Out, and that's what I was telling him, I was like, you're my De Niro, man. You're my De Niro. Early on, it felt clear that we'd work together again. And I was like, I need you to be in the future ones too, man. So that was Jordan Peele to Kahlua, essentially telling him, like, I want you to be my De Niro. You're my De Niro. They made Get Out, they made Nope. And he could tell, like, you
okay, get it. So he's confirming he wants to, like, work with him again in the future.
Yeah. And I would think, and I would think that if I'm Kahlua, and this dude is saying, you're my De Niro, I can turn to you for a bit of help on directing. And, you know, like, mind you, maybe you don't want to. You want to have your own style.
He did have a co-director, right? So it could have been like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. But so was it at least because you said the scenery is beautiful, like it's shot well. But overall, and the acting, I imagine, is good because Kano's a solid actor. I've seen Kano in a bunch of stuff. And...
Yeah, the acting was good, honestly. It's just the story was just flat for me. Like, I feel like there wasn't much substance. It was a lot of, there was just a lot of filler, I feel like.
Yeah.
Which can... Okay. Easily take someone out of the film, right? Because it's just if there's too much filler and there's not enough
killer. Sorry.
Too much filler, not enough killer. I like how you said it too.
But no, yeah, if there's too much filler and not enough like things happening,
right.
Like, I just feel like the movie wasn't really moving forward, or it was taking really long to get there. If that makes sense. I'm trying not to spoil anything.
No, that's fair. Can I ask one question though? Were there multiple plots throughout? Like, you know, sometimes some movies will be so A plot heavy that you don't need a B plot. Some movies are A and B plot, and you know, if one story's thin, you have the B plot that kind of helps carry the load. And in this one, if you're saying that if the story is kind of thin, could it have used a B plot, or did it not even have one? If that makes sense.
It's hard to answer. Like, I.
Hey, if you don't want to spoil and you're worried that giving that away will spoil it, we'll leave it there. I'm okay.
Let's just say there was more focus on the community, the neighborhood, the slang. Like, there was a lot more focus on the people and like how they live and like, you know, but let's focus on, I guess, executing the goal, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Folks, you heard it. So, yeah. I mean, this as for a View the Right Thing, I really expected more positive, but I guess
yeah, I was about to say it's full of hate.
1 out of 3. I mean, I would.
No,
it's
not hate though.
No, not hate. But I it's just because Dave knows me, and funny enough, I'm the positive one this time, because there have been times where I've done reviews of movies, and Dave and the rest of the guys have had to be like, "Jesus Christ, Brian." Like,
my favorite one was one time he said that he liked the movie and it was good, and we were like, since when? You've been bitching about it for 30 minutes.
I went on a hard rant, and they're just like,
hard rant,
Brian, this is a movie you liked. And I was just like, yeah, man, I liked it, but
you're allowed to like a movie and still criticize some things about it, you know? Like,
right. Yeah. I just think I went probably a little too hard. I think
it got to the point where like, what are you going to say if you don't like the movie?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Been there. I've been there.
And then when I got to do the Shazam one, that's day. See,
the second one or the first one?
The first one. I obliterated the first one. I said things about its mama that it would have slapped me. Like, I really
liked it.
Oh, girl, don't make me go back there.
I was gonna say it's probably because I went into it with my expectations literally below the floor. Gutter. Like, yeah, my expectations were so low that it actually pleasantly surprised me.
And the movie is gutter. So, I mean, your expectations were on par with where the movie, you know, I enjoyed it. No, that's fair. Like you just said, we are allowed to enjoy bad things, and that movie is tradash in a way that see, Dave's already gone because he knows. You know what, Dave? You know what? I'm going to talk about Wanted. I'm going to get into all the movies I dislike. Let's go after Wanted next. No, I'm joking.
Oh my god!
I will say though, if you guys have the chance to read Big Time. The Big Game by Mark Millar, which is the comic book that kind of wraps up the whole Wanted and Millar world. Do it, but you know, it's not the best. Oh no, I said it. It's not the best. It's not the best. I said it.
We're drinking a lot of Haterade tonight.
Oh,
the Haters Guild here. It's the Haters Guild.
This was full of Haterade at the beginning, and I drank half of it. The Haterade. Lord.
For a second, I thought that was vodka, but then I realized, like, no, it's a bottle of water. Thank God.
My water has hate in it. That's what it is. We got geek news and rumors, so let's get to it. Geek news and rumors. We actually have, speaking of Haterade, Dave, are you going to do it? Are you going to hate on the first piece of news we have is Marvel Stormbreaker Spotlights, Marvel's Mightiest Heroines, in new covers. One of those covers being Squirrel Girl, a fantastically popular character who is often referred to as the undefeatable Squirrel Girl, which for some reason, this young, strong, independent woman being a victorious heroine in Marvel offends our white male cis friend.
Okay, first of all, fuck you.
Painting you into that corner makes it so difficult for you to dig out. But I'm looking for
it's really simple. I don't get it. other than the concept that people, it, sure, girl power, I'll give you that. Happy with that. You know, get those girls.
I love the way you said it, though. Girl power.
Like, you know, we get you into the comic books. Other than that, this is for cosplayers and furries. All right? Like, what on earth? You're telling me squirrels take on Thanos? The guy who destroyed half the universe with a snap of his finger, he doesn't like little squirrels because her tail got in his nose or something and made him, like, I don't know, laugh. Like, I don't even get it, Brian. Tell me why. Tell me why a person who commands animals that are restricted to our Earth, who have to hibernate for half the year if they're in a cold environment, who lose to other animals their size and are eaten on a regular basis, how that takes down the Mad Titan. Please enlighten me how this person is special enough.
It's so funny, too, because I was just telling Janessa about the other time Thanos was defeated, when he got defeated by Spectrum. And in the comic book, and I was explaining to her that, like, Thanos is almost impossible to take down. We've seen it in Marvel, the MCU films. We've seen it in the comic books. If you're a reader, Marvel is like, Thanos is almost impossible to, like, get him to bend the knee. And, you know, in the Ultimates, the team that's set in the 616, Spectrum, Monica Rambeau, is able to take him down by doing something with the energy, like the light signals that send messages through his brain, and disconnects his brain from his body.
Yeah.
And he falls to the ground.
Because she has cool powers that are really useful and that actually do something. Unless the real story here is that Thanos is a furry and bent the knee and allowed him to get pegged in the butt from this character. I don't get it. My issue is not that the character's crap. I never said she crap. I said, don't get it.
It's cool that
she's nice. It's cool that all those other things. But
superpower
of agility and superhuman strength, not galactical strength, not cosmic strength.
Yeah, she has like
superhuman strength. If you give me an Ant-
strength of a squirrel in, like, based on size or something.
So does this mean that Ant-Man can rule the universe all of a sudden?
I just searched it.
like, can we just?
What a weird, strange character. So, I don't know.
Yeah, so you can see why
co-host is also in shock on pure sight. Please, remind me, Brian, how this person, other than all those ranty things I just said, give me one reason why she deserves consistent spot. Every couple of months, you hear something about her.
I can answer the question.
Go for it.
The reason they keep making her a spotlighted character is because fanboys get mad. That's the only reason they do it. I know you're not a fanboy like that.
Now you're calling me a fanboy.
You're not a fanboy. You're someone who watched her get used repeatedly, and you're just like, why do they keep using this character? Because, funny enough, because you're not a fanboy, you don't even understand the need to do what they're doing with her. But fanboys love to hate her. So there are writers in Marvel specifically who like writing her the way where she beats Thanos, where she beats all these characters constantly because it makes them mad. And then you, who's not a fanboy, looks at that and you don't even understand why they're doing it. And you're like, why is she so popular? It's because they just like to write her to piss off fanboys.
But, like,
that's honestly, dude, if you look at her history, that is really the only reason they use her.
It's annoying because there's only one kink in Thanos's armor that I've actually ever truly seen. Sympathy for people. The only thing that there is love for death, because in Marvel Comics, death is
he's obsessed with her
character, and him and Deadpool have a 5-issue story arc where they're literally fighting for death's love because it's like, who's this other person? Well, this other guy who dies all the time is always at my door.
You know?
And that's why I made the joke about maybe Thanos is a furry, because that's literally the only reason I could figure it out. And I'm sorry that I'm a little ranty about it.
No. I mean, I intentionally put it at the end of the show because I knew you'd go on a rant, and it was perfect that we led into it by joking about Haterade. So sip on, my friend. Can I say hate?
I do agree that it is weird. I don't see the... I don't understand.
It's as weird as Drake's leak.
But honestly...
I don't know. I think Drake takes the win for this one.
Yeah. I honestly, at the end of the day, it really is just because... They like writing her because it drives people crazy. Right. That's pretty much it.
And like, no hate to people who like her or anything. I sincerely don't. If you're a writer who's just writing to piss people off, do what Garfield does. Go to drag in the middle of the street and get shot. Like, I don't want to.
Jesus. Every week, Dave goes one that step just, further. With
I was going to say, that just went to like level 10 so quickly.
It annoys me.
I'm sorry. When I get annoyed, I'm not nice. Something less murderous from the crazy boy. A Buffy the Vampire Slayer reboot could be in the works. Says Dolly Parton. I don't know if anybody knew this, but Dolly Parton was a producer on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yes, No, no one did. She recently admitted that she was a financial partner in one of the production companies that made the show. And then just in an interview brought up the fact that they're working on a reboot. So shout outs to Dolly Parton for not only being one of the most like prolific writers of music ever, for not only being someone that during the pandemic worked hard on literacy for children, trying to keep kids educated, not only supported trying to find vaccines for people during the pandemic, but also a financial supporter for one of the most famous female heroes in television history, Dolly Parton, doing it for all of us. Thank you.
Although I'm not excited about a reboot.
No, agreed. I know, that's funny.
We need to stop reboots.
Because like
no original you went stories.
From like the movie, the actual original movie, which was like a cult classic in itself. Right. People were like, you're going to redo this. And then Josh Whedon, regardless of everything, any other things that have happened.
He still hit a home run.
He hit a home run with that show. Like, mind you, the last few seasons, maybe not so. But, like, the first 3-4 seasons, like, I was openly like,
yeah, this is fantastic.
I'm staying home and watching Buffy on Friday before I go out.
Yeah.
Through you guys, this is good.
Yeah.
Like, people be like, charmed. And like, no, Buffy, of course. Like,
take that back. My Shannon Doherty will forever be a gorgeous little.
But there is one blemish in Dolly Parton's career.
I mean, they all have blemishes, but sure.
Oh no, but this is an open one. Dollywood.
Okay, well, you might not like Dollywood, but other people might.
Did you go to Dollywood? Dollywood is the
theme. To even talk about why.
Oh no, I can. It's the Disneyland of Dolly Parton.
Okay,
legit.
Wait, you never heard of that?
Enjoy.
No.
Oh yeah, Janessa. Dollywood is a thing.
Dollywood's a thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
they're
glorifying her in all the wrong. At 16 year old, when certain things I should enjoy at that age, just because they're there, I still felt awkward in that
this
place.
This is so weird. How did I not know about this?
Because you weren't a perverted teenage boy. That's
at least you can go with that instead of Drake at the end of the night. Put that in your brain.
That's how we'll end this.
So weird.
Odd. The internet, and this is before the internet, so this is really just some creep being like,
is it still open?
I would imagine.
No, you can check. I'll let you check while I add the next piece of news. Animal Control, a Fox series, renewed for season 3 by Fox ahead of season 2. One of the reasons I'm excited about that is Montreal actor Tristan DeLala is a recurring cast member on the show, and I'm hoping to see him more over the next 2 seasons of the show as it continues. So shout out to Tristan. We hope to see you, Mr. Lala. And keep it up. I mean, the show is really funny. It's really entertaining. So if people are looking for a nice quick little watch, season 1 is available on the platforms, or, you know, if you like to sail the pirate seas. And then the last piece of news, and I did this on purpose to end with this one because we definitely won't have time to discuss it, but she is crazy and we love her for it. And by love her, I mean, we still hate her. Gina Carano sues Disney for Mandalorian axing backed by Elon Musk. So
I'm not surprised that Elon is supporting it. And I'm just going to say, as someone with my heritage, fuck you. You know what you did wrong in that moment. Right. Regardless if you were trying to prove a point, you used the wrong analogy. It wasn't cool. Right. If there's a lot of if a lot of people can't say certain things about other cultures, that's one thing. Stop it. Yeah. And if you think I'm being insensitive, you're a fucking jerk. Sorry.
Yeah, people need to stop using the German Socialist Party, and I'm not even going to say their names because I'm tired of saying it all the time. Mm-hmm. But people, you know, that she referenced that America was like this, their era, and people got mad, and Disney let her go because they were just like, hey, you can't say stuff like that. It's not right. And Elon Musk is...
What did she say?
She compared America to a 1940s German Socialist Party that believed in killing all the Jews. That's how
the Hitler party.
Yeah. And she thought that was okay. And she thought she was in well within her rights to make that comment working for Disney. And then Disney was like, no, and then let her go. And that was a couple years ago. And now she's got backing from Elon Musk, Mr. Free Speech, because he thinks that because he bought X, he's the pioneer and the great hero of free speech. And they're going forward with this. Funny enough, we do have to wrap up the show. And guess what, guys? If you tune in every week, you know that we do post show clips. We'll have this conversation over there. So if you guys want to check us out, make sure you follow us on our social medias because that's where the clip is available. And the clip is going to be available at Geek Cypher, GEEKCYPHA. That's the whole show, you beautiful people. We want to thank you for tuning in. Ness, is there anything you want to tell the people to check out before we go?
No,
not even about your club. And then get check out.
Oh, people in Montreal, yes, come check out my movie club this Sunday at Chaque Moi. We are talking about Poor Things. So if you're in the area, come visit.
And Dave, anything you want to tell the people?
I'm sorry if I insulted furries before. You have your rights, but like, I still don't support Squirrel Girl.
Fantastic. Folks, we're out. Peace. We appreciate y'all. Have a good one.